for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Deliverance Ministers Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Tuesday evening, October the 28th, 2008. Norman Parrish is the speaker of this service, teaching on Why Deliverance.
It's a joy to be back in Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Although I have a very tight schedule, I decided to come spend 24 hours with you here so that we could renew our acquaintance, our friendship. I want to thank you all for standing behind us in prayer and financial support. How many have seen me, heard me before here at Lake Hamilton? Well, the majority. There's a few stragglers. We've crossed paths before. And you know that I'm a missionary. Today that name is not so used so often. Now they talk about apostles and prophets and about all the fivefold ministry. Missionary is a misnomer. Really, the word missionary and the word apostle are the same. And because missionary comes from the Latin word mito, which means to send. And the word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, which means also to send. So they have the same meaning. A missionary is an apostle, and a missionary ought to be doing apostolic work. Now that doesn't mean that all those that call themselves missionaries are doing apostolic work. Because there are many that are involved in education and in child care, etc., etc. They're doing a good work, though. Something that is important also to the heart of God. I have with me tonight two pastors. I'm going to introduce them. One is going to bring a word of greeting tonight, and the other will bring a word of greeting tomorrow. They're Spanish speaking. So when they heard that I was coming to Lake Hamilton, they wanted to come with me. And so they flew up from McAllen on the border of Mexico. And we met in Houston, flew up to Little Rock, rented a car, drove down so we could be here with you these 24 hours. The first one I'm going to introduce is Brother Eduardo Perez, Edward Perez. Stand, please. He's a pastor, or better still, he's a businessman, become a pastor. In the city of McAllen, his church is called Christ Center, Cristo Centro. And there's many, many Cristo Centros throughout Central and South America. The original Cristo Centro was founded back in about 1982 in Guatemala City. And from there, the name has been adopted by many of the churches that we have established or that have come under our leadership in many countries of Central South America. As a mission, the CMC, the Continental Missionary Crusade, is now working in 17 countries on the American continent, plus we're in Spain, we're in India, we're in Mozambique, Africa, and other nations. And so it's become quite a large undertaking, and it just is a handful, you know, a huge responsibility to oversee such a vast network of churches, not only on the American continent, but we have some in Europe, some in Asia, and some in Africa. So I'm going to ask Brother, then the other brother is Brother Antonio Zuno. He's an apostle, not only in Mexico, that's his headquarters, but he also has churches under his direction in other countries. As far south as Argentina and Uruguay in South America. So he has a vast ministry, and he's very, very effective for God. And spreading the kingdom or extending the kingdom throughout the Hispanic world. So I'm going to ask Brother Antonio to come forward. and he's going to come and greet and just give a brief report of what he's doing. Look at that beautiful jacket. That's not made of vinyl. That is real leather. Yeah. And you'll notice the CMC. That's the Continental Missionary Crusade. And then turn around, and his church is called Christ Center. And it's an apostolic house. And his church is near Guadalajara, Mexico. Guadalajara is one of the larger cities, the second or third city of Mexico. And he has a network of churches in that portion of Mexico. So I'm proud to introduce Brother Antonio. We call him Toño. Toño. So, say hello. Yeah, sure.
Estoy muy contento estar este día con ustedes.
I'm delighted to be with you this day.
Tengo muy poco tiempo en el ministerio.
I have a relatively short time in ministry.
Hace 12 años empecé la primera iglesia en la cual soy pastor.
12 years ago I founded the first church, the church I pastor.
Hace 9 años me ordenaron como pastor.
9 years ago I was ordained as a pastor.
Vivo en una ciudad muy pequeña.
I live in a smaller city.
Pero Dios nos ha permitido ir a otras a otras países.
But the Lord has allowed us to go to other countries, and He said continents, but that it's true.
Dios me ayuda. He colaborado con Dios a abrir aproximadamente 200 iglesias.
I have cooperated with God, or with God's assistance, I've been able to open around 200 churches already in Central and South America and other parts of the world.
Actualmente estoy trabajando en 20 países.
Presently, I work in 20 different countries.
Realmente,
that's not bragging. That's true.
Y estoy muy, muy feliz estar con usted.
And I'm just so happy to be able to be with you. Now, this man is not the begging type. You know, there are some missionaries, sad to say, that are always soliciting financial support, and they need it. But I've never heard this man. He's learned to trust God, and God has amply supplied. And as he said, he travels throughout the continent and even to other countries. He's been to Spain, he's been to England. Have you been to Romania or Ukraine? He's been in Lebanon and Syria. He's been in Guinea or New Guinea in Africa. And where else? India? Nepal. So he travels. Ministers, extensively. He's come to the greatest mission field in the world, the United States. Where there's so many heathen. There's a few converted heathen here tonight. That doesn't mean that the rest are still heathen. I'm just saying that there are some that used to be heathens that have become Christians by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brethren, I've been to the States now for a little over 2 weeks. I've traversed the continent from coast to coast twice. 2 weeks ago, I was in the West Coast, preaching in Los Angeles and San Diego, and even across the border in Tijuana. Last week, I was in the East Coast, and across the border into Canada. I was in Kitchener and Toronto, Ontario. So I've been covering a lot of miles by air. And as I flew over the United States, I felt something I never felt before, a tremendous burden for this nation. I looked out the window of the airplane. I always asked for an aisle seat, but they assigned me window seats. Now I know why. The Lord wanted me to look down upon the terrain and to begin to cry out for mercy. I interceded for the United States most of the time I was flying. As I flew over all these different states, I just felt a burden that I never felt before for America. Now, I'm not American. I'm Canadian. born in Canada, raised in Colombia, raised in Guatemala. I've never lived in Canada. I was 4 years of age when I left Canada. I've retained my Canadian citizenship because it opens doors everywhere in the world. There's places they don't want Americans, but they'll accept a Canadian because Canadians are, well, neutral. Yeah, they don't disturb the peace like the Americans do. And so, but I studied in America 50 years ago, over 50 years ago. And there I met my wife at Bible school. We married. We had 44 years of marriage. She passed away in the year 2000. And she came several times here to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Tremendous woman of God. And my son Dario, who is now the president of the CMC, the Continental Missionary Crusade, he's an American. My other son, Paul, one of the adopted twins, already obtained his American citizenship. And Peter, the other twin, is going to come to the States probably next year to claim his American citizenship. So I feel an affinity with Americans more than with Canadians. Canadians are stuffy. In their ways, they are stingy, too. You know, Canadians are very conservative in financial matters. Canadians are, savings accounts. Canadians and Americans are splurge. They have little savings, a lot of debts. That's the problem right now. The United States is on the verge of bankruptcy. And not only the banks, but a lot of insurance companies and a lot of mortgage companies, etc., etc., etc. And one of the great problems America is facing is in the economic field. The other one is in the military field. We're engaged in battle, and I say we because I identify with America, and can't seem to get out of it. Iraq, Afghanistan, and there's military threats from many nations. You know, Russia already has warplanes in Venezuela and warships in the Caribbean on the coast of Venezuela, and that could be the beginning of a Third World War. Believe me. I know what Hugo Chavez's intentions are. We have a prophet in Guatemala, and he's a pastor, but he has strong prophetic manifestations, not just gifts, manifestations, just like the Old Testament prophets. And this man travels in the Spirit. He leaves his body in the Spirit and travels to other parts of the world and other parts of the universe. It's amazing. And I have everything recorded and go over it with a fine-tooth comb. And we submit it to, we examine it, we judge it. And I tell you, he's very accurate. And he's been to different parts of the world. He's been to Siberia. He's been to Iran. In Iran, he was in an underground fortress laboratory where they were constructing biological weapons and also nuclear weapons. It's going on right now. And you know that the president of Iran has threatened not only to destroy Israel, but destroy America. That's his aim. And I tell you, if you've never interceded for this land, you better start. And the sooner the better. Don't wait till tomorrow. Because we're on the verge, and I say we, because I'm one of you, we're on the verge of a cataclysm. Yes. Pray for your nation, because your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, everybody's in danger. And this is not kidding. The menace is real. And so that's why when I was flying over the land from coast to coast and from border to border, I just felt this heavy burden. I couldn't shake it off me. And so I spend most of my time just interceding in English, Spanish, or in tongues, and crying out to God. And the thing that would always come to me was mercy, asking for mercy. The Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. We have to appeal to God's mercy. This nation deserves what might be coming. How many believe that? We've forsaken God, we've forgotten God. You know, this year, the nation, 30 years ago, I spoke at John Osteen's church in Houston, Lakewood. And the Lord led me to speak kind of like a prophetic message. Why God had a special love for America. And there were four reasons I gave. And I remember distinctly. The first was, because there's a large percentage of evangelical Christians, born-again Christians in this land. Back then, it was estimated about 25-30%. But I think that's gone down. I think a lot of people that were Christians back then have ceased to become Christians, or ceased to be Christians. They've reneged and they've turned their back on the Lord. And we haven't had the large amount of conversions to replace them. So I would say, well, today there's still a lot of Christians that are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But I wonder if the percentage is large enough for God to spare this nation. Second reason I gave was because America has been the missionary forwarding agency of the world. More missionaries have gone from America to the far-flung corners of the earth than from any other nation. And not only personnel, resources, equipment. America funded the missionary outreach for many, many years in many, many nations of this world. The third reason, America has been a very generous nation. For example, after the Second World War, you can remember America rebuilt the Japanese economy and rebuilt the German economy, favored its enemies, had the Marshall Plan, you remember that? And had another one in Latin America called Alliance for Progress, and invested millions upon millions upon millions helping other nations recover from the war effort. And when a catastrophe strikes in any issue of the world today, who are the first to get there? Americans. Now the fourth reason is America's love for Israel. And Israel wouldn't exist today if it wasn't for America. Israel would have been wiped out already. Because, you know, I don't have all the facts. But this prophet has been in the White House. And I've got it recorded. He saw President Bush under tremendous oppression. Seven nations, it said seven principalities and powers that represent seven nations were crowding around him, trying to make him lose his control over himself and over the nation. And this prophet said maybe a year ago that he talked about Condoleezza Rice, who is a Christian, and probably she should have been the candidate to the vice president if she under the Republican ticket. She would have taken, you know, world prestige. She's respected in all the nations of the earth. And she's a woman of high stature. And she's a Christian. I don't know if you know that, but she is. She's the daughter of a Bible preaching pastor. And the prophet said that if she's the one that's maintained the peace in Israel. Through her diplomatic efforts, Israel has had relative peace. But the day is coming when Israel is going to have to stand alone. against all the Arab nations. They're out to destroy it. And I believe it's because with the economy as it is, the military as it is, the day is going to come when America is not going to be able to intervene in behalf of Israel. We'll be so occupied taking care of our own problems that we won't be, and I say we as Americans, we won't be able to assist Israel like we have in the past 20, 30, 40 years. It's a sad tale. And because of those four facts, God has had a tremendous love for this country. This is a chosen nation. But, that's a big but. Things that are happening, have happened and are still happening, that have caused or awakened God's anger against this nation. And brethren, if you haven't prayed, you better start praying. Make it a take this burden upon yourself, especially in the next week or so. Because I feel that if a certain person is elected, this is nation's about finished. Yep. No, I'm not involved in politics. I don't care to recommend who you should vote for, but think about it and pray about it. And be sure you're doing what God tells you to do when you go to the booth to mark your ballot and try to influence some of your neighbors and friends to vote right, to not throw the vote away, because they'll repent when it's too late for having made a mistake in voting at this time of history. Okay, I think that's enough for the moment about that. Let me see what else was I going to say. Brother Badunger, I think you've been here before, but why don't you stand? He's a dear friend. He's for many years was the president of the CMC here in the United States. And he lives up here in Shirley, Arkansas. And when he heard that I was going to be here, he decided to drive down with his new bride. Why don't you stand? I forget what your name is. June. Bud was widowed back last year, wasn't it? 2 years. 2 years ago. And the Lord very graciously provided him a substitute. And I know they love themselves dearly, and that's the important fact. Yeah. And we wish them a very, very happy marriage. Serving God. Bud's retired from the pastorate, but he's not retired from the ministry. I mean, you never retire from the ministry. If you ever... Okay, if he's 87, he beats me, I'm 76. I thought I was old. Well, I've been in ministry 56 years, and I could retire, and maybe some think I should retire, but I'm still got my boots on and traveling all over the continent and other parts of the world and preaching and teaching. And, you know, one of my main emphasis is deliverance. The Lord, most of the old deliverance ministries are far gone. Derek Prince, Frank Hammond, Frank Marshall Lowe, Win Worley, and others. Too many to mention. But I'm still there. Kicking the devil in the shins. And I've never desisted. When I'm in Guatemala, my home and my office, I have cases, deliverance cases, every day. They pile up on me. And I get calls from many, many people asking for, a deliverance session, and I try to minister to as many as I can. But I don't only minister deliverance personally, but I minister deliverance by phone. Here it is. I carry my cell phone. I keep it on day and night. And I get calls late in the night from people from many different nations. They say, I need deliverance desperately. And I don't know where to turn. I don't know where there's a deliverance ministry available. And somebody gave me your name and a telephone, and so I'm calling and asking you if you're willing to pray for me. No, but the first say, can you refer somebody in my area or in my country? And I say, I don't know anyone. And so they say, well, will you pray for me now? I say, well, if you're praying and willing to pay the telephone bill, I'll gladly do it. And sometimes it takes a half an hour, 45 minutes, even an hour, binding, rebuking, and you hear people weeping and screaming, and before long, peace comes. And then they write me, or they call me and tell me it's been a marvelous experience, that their life has been changed. But lately, I've even ministered deliverance by messenger, chatting. Yeah, they write me, you know, they see that I've opened up the messenger, and they connect or they contact me, and I start writing and saying, now in the name of Jesus, I command you, Satan, to release. And people write me back and say, brother, it worked. Well, so why not? We have an advantage over the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have modern technology, and we need to use it. Now, he used to pray at a distance. Remember that centurion said, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Now, we don't have to only say the word. We've got ways to communicate. Release angels so that they'll go and do the job for us. A lot of angels that communicate with us because we've had a strong angelic ministry for years and years and years. And they say, we're just standing by waiting for orders. And some of them say, we're bored waiting so long because Christians, they don't put us to work. They don't ask us. And brother and sister, we don't have to ask. We can command. Angels are subject to us if we are subject to Jesus Christ. If we act within the framework of God's will, angels will submit to us and go and carry out our orders. Some of you look dumbfounded. Well, why don't you try it? You'll be surprised what was going to happen. Because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And the Bible says in Hebrews that God never allowed any angel to sit in that place. Not even Michael the archangel. Or the other archangels, the other cherub, or whoever it might be, cherubim. Have ever taken a seat at the right hand of the Father. But we, in Christ, we are now seated in heavenly places. And from there we can issue orders. We are in the throne of the universe with Christ. And our orders, when we speak according to God's purposes, in the framework of God's will, it says, if Jesus Christ Himself spoke. You don't believe it? Try it. It's amazing. Our word can be an impacting word. I mean, it can impact not only the kingdom of Satan, it can impact the kingdom of God. And I, for many, many years, availed myself of that privilege. And I tell the brethren, I never cease to be surprised at the results. And that's why, well, I've had an extensive ministry but I don't go around, I don't publicize it. Others that are doing, I suppose, little in the kingdom of God, they write these big, long, full-colored magazines and publicize their ministries. I don't do that. I don't have time for that. I don't have time, I don't have finances, because printing and postage can be very expensive. And so, but I'm getting the job, praise the Lord. And you too, you got a huge responsibility. Now you folks that are here tonight is because you are interested in deliverance. Deliverance is part of what we call spiritual warfare. It's deliverance, spiritual warfare on the earthly level, not in the heavenly realm. We've got both responsibilities. We've got to pray against the principalities and powers in heavenly places. But then we have to pray, come against the spirits that are harassing, that are oppressing people that are on this earthly plane. And I think we need to be involved the most. A lot of people today, I've found, like to get engaged in what they call the cosmic battle, fighting these powers over nations and over regions, over cities. And that ought to be done. Preferably not an individual, since we need to form a block. I mean, what two or three of you agree, we need to have others we can join with in coming against those powers. Not because if we go against them alone, we might be sitting ducks to a demonic onslaught that we won't be able to handle. But we also need to be engaged in praying for people on the earthly plane. People are suffering emotionally, mentally, physically, morally, spiritually, and many of them will never see a transformation in their lives until they are fully delivered. Deliverance is essential, brother.
Amen.
This is not a secondary ministry. This is a primary ministry. It's time we became fully convinced that we're engaged in the ministry that is of tremendous value to God and to His kingdom. And I don't think Christians in America have woken up to that fact. There's more interest in deliverance, perhaps, than ever before. Deliverance has seeped in to many churches through the back door. And there are churches that minister deliverance in secret. They don't want it to get out that they are demon chasers. And so they occasionally pray for somebody and try to keep it under wraps. Is that true or not? Okay. And so we still need to teach the deliverance message so that others will be awakened in their consciences or in their spirits to get involved in this ministry that is of utmost value to God and to His kingdom. So tonight we're going to talk about deliverance. Oh, some of you are going to say, oh, the same old stuff. I'm sure some of the things that I will say tonight are well known, but perhaps I can get in some fresh thought that might convince you that you need to be involved in this ministry. My message, if you want to give it a title, is Why Deliverance? Why should I get involved in deliverance? Why should I submit to deliverance? Why should I take an interest in developing a deliverance ministry? Why? And brethren, the answers would come to prove that deliverance is needed and is of utmost importance to God in these end times. It's not something that we can do kind of on the sidelines. We need to be involved, strongly involved in deliverance ministry, because there are many people that are hurting, whole families, whole churches that are hurting under the attack of the enemy. And the enemy is so crafty, he's so cunning, that many times he disguises himself. He hides behind certain circumstances. And we tend to blame. Well, I know some people shift the blame and they say, oh, the devil made me do it. That's because they don't want to assume their personal responsibility for their actions. But also we should realize the enemy works behind the scenes. And he influences people to do things, say and do things that have no rational explanation. And we need to be aware of that, because, brethren, I believe that demonic activity is going to intensify. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that the devil, Satan and the devil, was cast out of the heavenly places. And when he discovered that he'd been cast out, he came down with what? With great wrath, knowing that his time was short. And I believe that the enemy today is angry, because God has raised up a people, very maybe few and far between, but God has raised up a people that will take a stand and will come against him and will command him to desist and depart. And because of that, he's extremely angry. And he's most angry of those that have been daring enough to question, to oppose his plans to enslave the human race and destroy the human race. You know, Satan hates mankind. Why? Because we're God's creation. And he can't get back on God. If it's true what the theologians say, that Satan was an archangel or a cherubim and that was rose up against God, he became very ambitious, and he saw beside God's throne an empty throne that was destined for who? For Jesus Christ. And he said, well, why can't I sit there in that place? I have as much right as anybody else to sit in that place. And so he made a dash for it, but he was discovered. He was unmasked, and the Bible says that he was cast out. Now, I don't agree entirely with what the theologians say, because I could prove by the scripture that the devil was created devil. And the Bible says, I created the destroyer to destroy. The Bible says that God created evil. Now we try to justify, vindicate, defend God. And so some of our theologians have come up with a different theory, that Satan was a good angel that rebelled, and he was discovered, and because of that he was cast down to this little dinky planet lost in space. This became his prison. Well, it could be true. I don't think we can be dogmatic about these things. But we need to be flexible. We need to be open to the possibility that things are not like our theologians say. You know, many of the theologians, most of the theologians, are not spirit-filled. And so we can't entirely trust them. And there are different theories. You know, some people say, where did the demons come from? Well, some say it's a pre-Adamic race. The spirits of pre-Adamic men. Others say pre-Diluvian. Men that, you know, those creatures that were formed by the union of the sons of God with the daughters of men, and that their spirits became demons. All of this is just speculation. Let me tell you something. Who cares where they come from? We know they're here. And we need to do something about it. And we should join the fray, stand against them, and use all the authority that God has given us and all the experience that God has given us, and use all the means and methods that God has made available to us to what? To stand against him and make it hard on him. Maybe make it impossible for him to continue with his dastardly work of deception and destruction of the human race. Amen? Are you with me?
Yes.
Well, I hope so. Maybe you ate too much tonight. No. Okay. Well, why deliverance? There are 8-10 powerful reasons why we should get involved in deliverance. And we're just going to mention them in passing. And you can study later on if you have a pen and pencil. Write these reasons down. And then you can make your own investigation. But I wrote an article about this, and then I outlined it, and I have the outline here. I have a book called Handbook of Deliverance in Spanish, and I've had the firm purpose of translating this into English. But sad to say, I haven't had the time. And this has been several years now. So I'll just review what this outline has to say. The first reason why deliverance is of utmost importance is because it validates. You know what that means? Validate? What is it?
Validate.
Excuse me. You know, I'm more Hispanic than anything else. So. Validates God's Word. It proves the validity and the veracity of God's Word. When you engage in deliverance, you discover that God's Word is effective. You discover that God's Word works. That God's Word brings astonishing results. That God's Word is spirit and truth. That when God's Word is spoken, the whole kingdom of darkness begins to quake and to fall in disarray. So let's look at some verses there. Matthew 8:16-17. Do you want us to read them? It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the devils, how? With his word. And healed all that were sick. Notice that all. I believe healing is for all. I believe God wants to heal all men, especially those that belong to his family or belong to his kingdom. And not only heal them, but keep them healthy. I always, when I come to Lake Hamilton, testify the fact that I haven't been to a doctor in 46 years. And it's been 34 years now since I've had a headache. Or a cold. Or a fever. Now, I'm not bragging, brother. It's just that I believe the word and confess it. And it works. The word of God is alive. And if you apply it, and if you confess it, if you believe what is written and put it to work in your life, it's going to bring results. And that's what the deliverance does. Notice what it says in verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. See, when you minister to healing, when you minister to deliverance, the word of God is fulfilled in your life and in your ministry. And listen, brother, you don't have doubts. Doubts plague the mind of many Christians. I have no doubt that the word of God is God's inspired word, inspired by the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I've seen it operate in thousands and thousands of cases. Bringing deliverance, bringing healing. That will dispel your doubts. Okay? So what is the first reason why deliverance is important? Because it validates God's Word. Let's see at another verse, Luke 4. This was Christ's inaugural speech. After he'd been baptized in water, baptized in spirit, he went to Nazareth, stood up in the synagogue, and preached his first message based upon Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And what did he say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me for what? He has anointed me, and what else has he done? And he has commissioned me to preach the gospel, gospel of the kingdom. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, in other words, deliverance, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty, that's deliverance to them that are bruised. Here we see deliverance as a message, to preach deliverance, and deliverance as a ministry, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And then it says down in verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. When is God's word fulfilled? When we minister what? Deliverance and healing. We're putting God's word into action. That proves that the word of God is valid and is powerful to bring the results that we desire in the lives, our own lives and the lives of others. Okay, Psalm 107. I'm sure you've read that verse or learned it by memory. It says, he sent his word and what? And healed them and also delivered them out of all their troubles. Amen? That's Psalm 107. And in verse 13, there's one where it says, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Okay, so you can underline the word healed and delivered. That's what the Word of God does. So, one thing I can tell you truthfully is I have no doubt about the truthfulness of the Word of God. I've lived it. I've preached it. And I've seen it do wondrous things in the lives of those that God has sent me to minister to. Multitudes throughout Central and South America and other parts of the world. So this is the first reason why deliverance is what? Not only needed, but also important. Why it's so necessary and why it's so important that we get involved in deliverance. Now, I believe that we first must be delivered before we can deliver others. Peter said, I don't have any money, gold, silver, I have none, but what I have, that I give you. And how can you minister healing if you're sick? And recurring to all kinds of medical practices. I mean, there's all kinds of alternative treatments, not only the standard medical practice, but there's homeopathy and there's chiropractors and there's acupuncturists and there's all kinds of stuff. And how can you minister healing if you don't discover the way to come into healing yourself? Huh? The same thing goes for deliverance. Can somebody that is, let's use just the word oppression, although sometimes it comes very close to possession, but how can somebody that is oppressed of demons, how can he set others free? Can someone that's down in a deep, dry well help somebody escape from that place? Impossible. Now, if he gets out, then he can help that other person that might be wounded get out. And so you need to be free so that you can free others. And I believe, brethren, and this is my personal conviction after ministering deliverance now for 45 years, I'm a pioneer in the deliverance field. I ministered deliverance before Derek Prince did, before Win Worley, before Frank Hammond. I've come to the conviction that every Christian ought to go through deliverance. Because somewhere or another, every Christian could be contaminated by evil spirits. And perhaps not could be, but is. So don't take it as an insult. You might have more demons than you can suspect. Because we are infested by demons for many different reasons. One is inheritance. Some of us are born with demons. And they so identified with us that we don't even know. We're so accustomed to having them that we don't realize that we have them. Inheritance is one of the main factors that I find in Latin America for demon possession or oppression. What you call ancestral curses. Because our forefathers, parents, grandparents, or whoever it might be, might have been involved in idolatry and in witchcraft and all kinds of immorality and all kinds of everything you can imagine. And they've left a legacy. And we're so worried about leaving a financial legacy for our children that we forget that we're leaving another kind of legacy. It's a spiritual legacy that could be positive, hopefully, blessing, or it could be negative, which could be what? Cursing. And then we are contaminated by, you know, demonic attacks through witchcraft and sorcery. And that's very, listen, in Guatemala, I've had to pray for the apostles for deliverance. And pray for the pastors for deliverance. Because they're invading the churches. They come under disguise. They pretend to be good Christians. And right inside the church, they're doing their... Listen, one of the big churches in Guatemala was invaded by 3 witch doctors the 31st of December. And they worked their witchcraft from inside the church. And the church... People would come to church and they'd feel such a heavy oppression that they would just leave. And the church went down. In every sense, the attendance went down, the financial support went down, the spiritual tone went down. And the pastor in despair called me and we went over there with this prophet that I told you about, went to pray with him, and the Lord revealed the whole plot. And so we come against all those demons and the witchcraft that had been placed or buried in the church. And the church turned around. Those begin to come back. But that's happening everywhere, brethren. And don't think that's only on the mission field. It's right here in America, too. One thing I want you to understand, brethren, is that this country has been invaded by people from many nations. And some come legally, and some come illegally. And I'll tell you, when people come that are followers of the Islamic religion, or the Buddhist religion, or the Hindu religion, and all these different cults and sects of the world, they bring their demons with them. And this country is now stash full of demons from many cultures, from many nations. And only the Church of Jesus Christ has the answer. And the church is asleep. And we're waiting for the rapture to be flown to the sweet by and by. Get out of this miserable world. And many pastors, they say, you know, I'm not interested in all this because, you know, any moment now the Lord Jesus is going to come and sweep us away. I do believe in rapture, but I don't believe it in, like, it's being taught in the popular religion. Hmm? But while we're here, we are supposed to be what? Soldiers. Warriors. Engaging in spiritual warfare against the forces of evil that are affecting our families, our churches, our communities throughout this nation. That's why God brought you to this retreat. Maybe that's the reason why I came, to warn you and encourage you to get involved in spiritual warfare. There's no time to lose, brother. This is a serious matter. Okay, the second reason why deliverance is needful and also or necessary and important, because it's the only way that we can provoke the downfall of what? Of the kingdom of darkness. Huh? It's the only way we can provoke or cause the kingdom of darkness to fall. How many want to see the kingdom of God established in this nation and everywhere around the world? The kingdom of God cannot be established until the kingdom of darkness is defeated and is destroyed. And that job has been entrusted in the hands of the church. There in Ephesians chapter 3, it says that we as the church are called to notify the principalities and powers in heavenly places about the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is centered on the cross. Christ crucified has become wisdom. And as we talk about, you know, what Christ did on the cross, the Bible says he spoiled principalities and powers. The Bible says he destroyed the works of the devil, etc., etc. When we notify that to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, we cause their what? Their downfall. The kingdom of God cannot be established until the kingdom of Satan is eradicated. That's why in Revelation chapter 12, it says there was a great battle, great war in heaven. And Michael and the angels warred against the dragon and his angels. And the Bible says that he and his demon spirits were cast down, were cast out. And then you could hear a voice in heaven that said, "Now is come salvation and power and the kingdom of our God." When is the kingdom of God going to be established in America? When? When the kingdom of darkness is confronted and is defeated by the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't sound very enthusiastic tonight. And I don't blame you. This is a serious matter. This is not a football game where everybody hoops and hollers. This is serious. So let's look at some of the verses about that. Luke chapter 10. Now, Chris made a serious mistake in not warning me of what time we had to finish tonight. And now I won't take any orders. It's too late now. Luke 10. Verse 17 through 19. And the 70 returned again with joy. Remember, these were not apostles. But they were engaged in apostolic work. I think they did become apostles. I think they had the same calling as the apostles had previously had. And it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." They couldn't, you know, come out of the... They were surprised that they were having the same results the apostles had. In verse 18, he said unto them, what? "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Now, when did Satan fall from heaven? Our theologians, the poor guys, say that Jesus was having a backward view in history to the primeval time when Satan was cast out of heaven. No. Jesus was referring to what happened those days. He said, as you guys were out there casting out demons, the powers of darkness in heavenly places were being shook to their foundation. They were being dispelled and were being cast to the earth. See, when you minister deliverance, that's why it's so important. You're not only, let's say if I prayed for Chris, he would get deliverance, but that deliverance that he gets will benefit all his family. Yes, his children, grandchildren, and even other members of his immediate family. But not only that, it will benefit the community where he lives. It will benefit the church that he pastors. See? That's why it's so important, brother. And so what did Jesus say in verse 19? He says, because of this, that you have used wisely, carefully, the power that I already gave you, now I give you power over all the power of the enemy. What do you think? He gave him a greater degree of divine power. See, when you are faithful in what? In the least, what's going to happen? God will give you more. And in verse 19, he gave him a greater dose of spiritual power and authority. Power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions, and power over all the power of the enemy, to the point that nothing, absolutely nothing, will harm you. And why is the enemy wreaking havoc in our lives, and in our homes, in our churches, in our communities? Because we're not using the power that God has given us. That's it. If you sit on your hands and you neglect to be involved in spiritual warfare, you'll never have the power to really bring about the downfall of the demonic kingdom. Amen? Let's look at another verse, Matthew chapter 12. There Jesus had been ministering to man that was blind and mute. He couldn't see, he couldn't talk. And what does the Bible say in Matthew 12:22? That this man was what? At the end of the verse it says, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. He was delivered. A blindness and a muteness. And then the battle began. Because his enemies began to say, oh, he's got a demonic power. He's cast out devils by Beelzebub. He's in cahoots with the devil. Probably he's made a covenant, a pact with the devil. And that's why the devil does what he asks him to do. It's all pretense. So Jesus went into the longest discourse on deliverance that we can find in the gospel. And he talked about a divided kingdom. Do you know that we can divide Satan's kingdom? We can cause demons to rise up against each other. We can force them to destroy their own works. In other instances, when I have come and ministered, I've told you about destroying witchcraft centers and heathen temples. I don't have to go and take a bunch of Christians, stand out and protest like they do with abortion clinics, or they used to do. Nowadays, Christians are passive. We have the power to bind and rebuke even at a distance. There's a lady in Latin America who claims to be something like an apostle, which I don't think she is. But she climbed some of the big mountains of the earth, went to Nepal and Tibet, and climbed the Himalayas, Mount Everest, supposedly because she said that Satan's throne was on the peak of Mount Everest, the highest mountain there were. She wanted me to go with her. I said, you're crazy. I said, first of all, I'm not a mountain climber. You have to be a titan to climb even a mountain, much less, something like that. They never got to the top anyways. They spent $1 million in their effort and it was all wasted. Because you don't have to... In God's kingdom, there's no distance and there's no space. There isn't. There's no time element involved. And I can bind here and cause Satan's kingdom anywhere in the world. When you launch an attack using the angelic armies, my brother, you can attack the enemy wherever he rears his ugly head. Amen? So here it says that through deliverance we can cause a division in the demonic ranks. And the Bible says that a kingdom divided itself cannot what? Cannot stand. And so we need deliverance to cause the division and the destruction of Satan's kingdom. Okay? Then we have another verse. Well, just write it down. Revelation 12, 7 through 11. That classic passage on spiritual warfare in the heavenlies, where it says that they, not the angels, but the redeemed, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and because they loved not their lives unto themselves. It's not talking about angels there. It's talking about us, the redeemed, the elect. Okay, third reason. And deliverance is important and needful because it contributes to establish the kingdom of God on earth.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.